Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salokaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stavidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dhaina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapsa Kenchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vanishwari Rishabana Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas, Text Number 25, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Namaha Kamala Nabhaya Namaha Kamala Maline Nama Kamala Padaya Namaste Kamalakshana Nama Kamalaya Nabhaya Nama Kamala Maline Nama Kamala Padaya Namaste Kamalakshana Nama Kamala Nabhaya Nama Kamala Maline Nama Kamala Padaya Namaste Kamalakshana Nama Kamala Nabhaya Nama Kamala Maline Nama Kamala Padaya Namaste Kamalakshana Please repeat Namaha We offer our respectful obeisances Kamala Nabhaya unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whose abdomen the original lotus flower originated. Namaha obeisances Kama Maline, who is always decorated with a garland of lotus flowers. Namaha obeisances Kamala Padaya, whose feet are as beautiful and fragrant as the lotus flower. Namaste. Obeisances unto you, Kamala Ikshana, whose eyes are exactly like the petals of the lotus flower. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, because from your abdomen sprouts the lotus flower, the origin of all living entities. You are always decorated with a lotus garland, and your feet resemble the lotus flower with all its fragrance. Your eyes are also like the petals of a lotus flower. Therefore, we always offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, because from your abdomen sprouts the lotus flower, the origin of all living entities. You are always decorated with a lotus garland, and your feet resemble the lotus flower with all its fragrance. Your eyes are also like the petals of a lotus flower. Therefore, we always offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The word Kamala Nabhaya indicates that Lord Vishnu is the origin of the material creation. From the abdomen of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, a lotus flower sprouts. Lord Brahma, the first creature of the universe, is born from this lotus flower. And subsequently, Lord Brahma creates the whole universe. The origin of all creation is therefore Lord Vishnu. And the origin of all the Vishnu tattvas is Lord Krishna. Consequently, Krishna is the origin of everything. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Therefore, whatever we see emanates from him. This is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadi Asya Yata. The absolute truth is he from whom everything emanates. Makam karochi vachalam phangam layate girim yat kripa tamaham vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. Nama Kamala Nabhaya, Nama Kamala Maline, Nama Kamala Padaya, Namaste Kamalakshana. Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, because from your abdomen sprouts the lotus flower, the origin of all living entities. You are always decorated with a lotus garland, and your feet resemble the lotus flower with all its fragrance. Your eyes are also like the petals of a lotus flower. Therefore, we always offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So, here the Prachetas are glorifying the Supreme Lord's beauty. Prajetas are speaking to Vishnu, who has appeared after they completed 10,000 years of austerities. So the Supreme Lord's darshan is achieved by this tapa. Austerity. What is tapa? It means voluntary control of one's mind and body. It means to exert one's will, which is founded within the soul. We are vibhinamsa. Krishna has given us free will. And according to how we use that capacity to desire, and how well we understand how to use it, the result will be accordingly. So in the words of the great devotees like this, who have by their austerity achieved the darshan and realization of Krishna, we find inspiration, we find description. The Bhagavatam is an elucidation of the relationships of all variety with the Supreme Lord, and the rasa, the mellows exchanged between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And in this way, it is the highest Vedic scripture. It is described as the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas. The Veda, knowledge, can fulfill all our desires because it directs us to what tapasyas, what areas of study, what practices, what sadhanas can be performed for specific results. So it is understanding this arrangement of the Supreme Lord enables the living entity to fulfill his particular desires. If he wants to become a king, a pandit, a great hero, or even a dolphin, whatever he desires, he can attain through the knowledge given in the Vedic literature. However, the Bhagavatam directs us to the highest activity. Dharma Projita Kaitivotra. It kicks out all cheating religion, because ultimately, if the living entity goes to the Vedic literature to fulfill his own desires, this is cheating religion. It is not actual religion. If we go to the Supreme Lord and follow Vedic instructions for our own aggrandizement, for satisfying our own particular desires, this is not actual religion. The actual religion is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. That is elucidated here in the Prajeta's words, in the words of Dhruva Maharaj, in the words of Lord Brahma, in the 14th canto of Bhagavatam after Brahma Vimohan Leela. That is elucidated in the prayers of the personified Vedas in the 10th canto. It is elucidated in the prayers of Queen Kunti in the first canto. It is elucidated by Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. So in this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest direction for the living entities, because it directs the living entities to pure Dharma. But it is only understandable, paramo nimacharanam satam, by those who are non-envious, and particularly, as we discussed 10 days ago, they have dissipated any attitude of rebellion or anger or envy towards the Supreme Lord. They are Krishna Anushilanam. They are favorably disposed to the Supreme Lord. They accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, Paramapurusha. They accept that that Supreme Personality is eternal. They accept that His consciousness is unlimited. He is possessed of unlimited potencies. Rasavai Saha, He is the embodiment of all rasa. He's the, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, He is the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, as the Prachetas say here, therefore we meditate upon You, Supreme Lord, because You are the reservoir of all opulence. You are the source of all creation, both material and spiritual. And thus, just like in a verse later, I believe, there is no point in going elsewhere. Yes, text number 32. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called the Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree, because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached Your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of You? So, example is given that bees, they extract the nectar from flowers, but when they discover a Parijata tree, which is considered the greatest, most fragrant of trees, there is no need to go to another place. So the Vedas, they do prescribe jnana, karma, and directions how the living entity can fulfill his desires for knowledge, for liberation, for education, personal beauty, knowledge, how they can fulfill karma and jnana. But ultimately, that is not the advice of the Vedas. And through the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual process, the actual relationship of the Supreme Lord and His devotees is displayed for our inspiration. So, for this reason, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of scripture, because it describes the most intimate aspects of the Supreme Lord and invites the living entity to attain realization of those aspects. Here, the beauty of the Supreme Lord is being described. He has unlimited opulence. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar Lalit Vishakha Shalagram Maharaj Giri Govardhan Gomata Tulsi Maharani Sri Guru Parampara Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. So the Lord, He has unlimited opulences of unlimited depth. This point, as Prabhupada mentions there in the purport, Ananta, is very important. It is the fit object for contemplation. In the material condition state, the living entity, his mind and body, limited in existence and potency and consciousness, thinks in limited terms. So the Supreme Lord exists in a state of unlimitedness. This is the object for contemplation for the sadhaka. Generally, and we see it manifest by the materialist, they go to the unlimited extreme of unlimited contemplation, and instead of saying that the source of creation, Ahamsa Vasya Prabhavo, is an unlimited supreme person for whom no one is equal and no one is greater, possessed of unlimited potencies and the origin of all mellows that we experience, all rasa, they reject this conception, which they cannot properly grasp in their conditioned state, and revert to a farcical idea that everything has come from nothing. Huh? Is there anything more farcical than this? You have a choice between two sources of creation. The Vedas explain that there is an unlimited Supreme Lord who has created the variety that is manifest and experienced by us on a daily basis. However, at this point in Kali Yuga, people are sent to school and told that everything came from nothing. So if nothing is actually nothing, that means it's not there to be the source of anything in the first place. So this is fundamentally illogical and unsatisfactory. But those of atheistic mentality, they grasp at this as the shelter for their inquiring mind. In the purport, Prabhupada said, Janmadi Asyata, that everything, the definition of the absolute truth. This is a very interesting point if we consider Veda Vyas, when he speaks the Vedanta Sutra, he starts with this conception. What is the absolute truth? You should inquire, Atato Brahma Jignas. And what is the absolute truth? What is Brahman? So this is a very generic title. It's not naming Krishna or Vishnu. It's just the Supreme. So what is that definition of Supreme? That definition of Supreme is that from which everything has emanated. So this is perfectly, if you like, in modern terms, secular. This is a perfectly reasonable idea, that the creation has emanated from the source. But for the materialist, that supreme is nothing. And for the bhakta, that supreme is Paramparush, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachat Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adya Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. This is Lord Brahma. When he realized Krishna, Brahma Samhita, he explained this. This is his definition. But now, in this Kali Yuga, people are being told that the source of everything is non-existence. It is not Sat. It is Asat. So this is fundamentally ridiculous and illogical. But it is being presented as knowledge at this time, because it suits the atheistic temperament. There is no supreme person. There is no supreme source. There is just nothing. It doesn't matter that you point out this is ideology, this is fanaticism, this is not logical, this is not knowledge. And they will say, we will explain it to you later. We will explain how everything has come from nothing once we've got our equations completed. And in this way, the mentality of the people is directed to nothing. Actually, human society, the Vedic knowledge should be widespread. And though in human society we have to live, maintain our bodies, maintain society, the contemplation of the absolute truth and the discussion thereof should be the main content of culture. Though the material necessities can be taken care of, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they are not in themselves the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is the realization of the unlimited Lord. But at this time, people are directed, or there is an attempt to direct them, to the conception of nothingness. Now, from nothingness, what you can draw? What inspiration can you draw? You can draw nothing. So, no morality, no direction, no sense of morality, no goal in life, no optimism, no relief from the trials and tribulations of life. You can only be absorbed in nihilistic vision and nihilistic understanding, a moral understanding of the universe, where everything is just relative. There are no moral absolutes. There is no ultimate right and wrong. There is no goal to be aspired to. There is no supreme person to be surrendered to. There is just a hideous existence of birth, death, old age and disease that is finally brought to a full stop by death. So, can we expect a healthy society, individually and collectively, when this false idea is the coinage of the culture? if people have the conception that everything is ultimately based on nothing, then what is the inspiration to perform materially meritorious and harmonious activities and to endeavor ultimately for spiritual realization? It only becomes as false as the activities of a murderer. There's actually no difference in value. And this is actually, we see in the world, the society that has been created by this atheistic nihilism. So the Srimad Bhagavatam should be the knowledge contained there, the description of the actual absolute truth should be presented. This was Prabhupada's mission, to all people of the world, so that just in the same way that the prachetas here are becoming attracted to the beauty of the Supreme Lord, so that similarly the natural attraction of all the living entities will awaken towards the Supreme Lord. And ultimately that is the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra, the potency of the Bhagavatam, the potency of Krishna is ultimately his attraction. We, or you, have become devotees. Why? Because ultimately you are attracted to the conception of becoming Krishna's devotee. You're attracted to the Supreme Lord. You're attracted to your role in relationship to the Supreme Lord. You're attracted to the position of Gopi Bhata Kamalayor Dasa Das Anudas. And this is what is maintaining your sadhana and your life, because of this attraction. In Sanskrit this is called rag, attraction. So this attraction of Krishna, this attractive quality of Krishna, is unlimited. However, from our point of view, it is covered because of material conditioning. Therefore, here, as we say, Lord Brahma, he appeared on the lotus flower mentioned in the purport. The prachetas have performed austerities. So the Srimad Bhagavatam presents the Supreme Lord, and throughout the Vedic literature there is explanation of how to directly realize that Supreme Lord. And that is tapasya. What is the tapasya given by Lord Chaitanya? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Goloka Prema Dana, Harinam Sankirtan. So this Harinam Sankirtan is as attractive of the Supreme Lord. However, we have to uncover and realize that attraction by performing tapasya. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given the regulative principles. No meeting, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. But these are negative. But on the positive side, our tapasya is shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. So the intelligent soul, the fortunate soul, cultivates attraction to Krishna through this process. And then he becomes as realized as the Supreme Lord. the base of the Supreme Lord. And the basis of tapasya is very simple principle that you should always remember in your practice of sadhana. And that is detachment from maya and material conceptions and attachment to the Supreme Lord. We withdraw our aspirations and yabilasita samyam from material activities, the facilities of this world, nadanam janam sundarim, and we apply our desire, our free will, to the service of the Supreme Lord. And the Bhagavatam, in elucidating the relationships of the Supreme Lord, give us that mood. That is also described in verse 33. Excuse me, 34. Yes, the Prachetas explain that ultimately all their austerities and devotional practice are performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Earlier we see that Dhruva Maharaj, he rejected the kingdom for which he was aspiring for the Supreme Lord's association. So similarly, the devotee rejects any material aspiration, any fruit from his service and tapasya, his chanting, in favor of offering it simply for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam bishve bambudo Kripa tava pankaja stuti duli sadrisim vichintaya. So, after renunciation, nadanam nadanam sundaram, then the devotee is awakened, ainanda tanuja kinkara. So, the pure servant is only looking for the satisfaction of his master. So, devotional service, under the direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, is performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, for no other purpose. Just like Krishna tells Arjuna, do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering loss or gain, fame or infamy, gain or loss, whatever. Just do your duty. So of course, the followers of Mahaprabhu are following Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam. So what is the motivation behind all activities? There is an inspiration, a motivation. So the devotee, his motivation is the satisfaction of Guru and Krishna, Hari, Guru and Vaishnava. He doesn't entertain any other desires other than that. And we see in these prayers of the Prachetas, these offerings, this stuti, we see that that is the natural condition. The unnatural condition is this motivated life, to enjoy for one's own satisfaction. That is the perversion of the soul. So in Kali Yuga, there's many bogus philosophies, many misdirections, but they all have one conception as the result, and that is you should enjoy now and not worry, because when you die, the lights will go out. So we see in the human society at this time, there's nothing but individual and collective conflict. So these are the result of false philosophy, false understanding. So our duty is, yes, our own personal realization of the Supreme Lord, but also to make that realization available to society. That is our duty. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Nithai, they started the Sankirtan movement. They did not solely give a system for the elevation of individual members, but Lord Chaitanya traveled throughout India for 6 years discussing philosophy with the leaders of different sampradayas, giving mercy, and by his own personal example teaching this Sankirtan movement. And this Sankirtan movement will expand if it is presented as it is. Prabhupada put "as it is," Bhagavad Gita. So we have no need to invent some new system. Our system is simply to get people to take up chanting and studying the Vedic literature and contemplation of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. This they will find attractive. Just in the same way that from all over the world, all different types, everyone is becoming a Krishna devotee, because this is the attraction of Krishna. And here mentioned is the beauty of Krishna. He has a beautiful garland, his feet are beautiful, the universe has sprung from his lotus-like navel. So of all opulences, Krishna's beauty is considered the most entrancing, the most unlimited. Each is unlimited, but we have to conceive this. We should contemplate this when we're chanting. The beauty of Krishna is unlimited. Now, how we can conceive of that which is unlimited? Yes, the materialist tends to this limited function, reductionism, that everything has come from nothing, from the most simple conditions. But actually, the truth is that the most complex, the most potent Supreme Personality is the source. So this is the contemplation. And through this contemplation of the unlimited Supreme Lord, the consciousness of the living entity expands and he realizes Krishna by the grace of Krishna. So, to understand that which is unlimited, we have to get the mercy of the unlimited. Because we can conceive of a beautiful flower, a lotus, a beautiful person, a beautiful sunset, but unlimited beauty, this is our object of contemplation. And this should be the object of contemplation for world society. And this will revolutionize human society from the very core. The core of a society is the consciousness of the individuals. At the moment, human society is very corrupted by atheism and voidistic thought. But when they contemplate the unlimited beauty of Krishna, this is the meaning of achincha. Achincha Beda Bed. Why is achincha there? Because Krishna is unlimited. And that is inconceivable. However, it is the object of contemplation eternally. Here the Prachetas are realizing the unlimited beauty of Krishna in his decoration and his form. So the bhakta is entranced in contemplation of the unlimited Lord. That is the goal of sadhana bhakti. This is the attainment of the prachetas. This is the benediction of the Supreme Lord. When the mercy of the Supreme Lord is attained, remembrance of the Supreme Lord is attained. And beyond that, there is no achievement. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madjaji mam namaskuru. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has said, in all the three worlds, there's nothing to be had but the holy name. And it has filled the soul of Bhakti Vinod. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, any question, point? Yes, you can take the mic if you like.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. When we engage in sadhana bhakti, like chanting of Hare Krishna, so we naturally commit offenses which we like cannot avoid, also like inattention in chanting. But if we are conscious, okay, I'm doing it for Krishna, so will that be counted as an offensive chanting, or because the mind is fluctuating when I am chanting. So if I'm conscious, okay, I'm doing it for Krishna's pleasure, for Guru's pleasure, so is that pure chanting or?
Well, pure chanting is chanting for the pleasure of Krishna. So you can start pure chanting as soon as you understand the conception. You understand? The pure devotee is defined as he, although he may be in the period of sadhana, his goal is pure devotion. He may not be fully realized and having attained that state, but because his goal is pure devotion, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, therefore he is considered a pure devotee. So even though your chanting may not be fully purified, you may suffer from inattention, the mind flickers here and there, still, if your intention is the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, then that is pure chanting. But you have to come out of namabhas to actual shuddha chanting, where all offenses such as inattention, agitation of the mind are dispelled. And Lord Chaitanya has given the stages, Chaitadarpana Marjanam. First, false understanding of reality will be dissipated. Then the material agitation will be dissipated, Bhavarog. Then one will gain positive direct knowledge of the Supreme Lord. And through that knowledge, he will contemplate the Supreme Lord, and then he'll achieve Anandam Buddhivardhanam. So when we say we want to become detached from Maya and attached to Krishna, the vehicle for that detachment and attachment to the Supreme Lord is Jnana, Bhakti Jnana. realization of Krishna, Krishna's name, the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, that automatically takes our consciousness towards the Supreme Lord. So that will guide us in our contemplation and realization of Krishna. But we should not be disturbed, oh, my mind is this, my mind is that. We just continue, regular. You understand? And through regular practice, you will automatically improve.
Is there any relationship between practical devotional services and understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam? Is there any relationship between practical devotional service and our appreciation of Srimad Bhagavatam? Do practical devotional services help us in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam?
Well, it's very practical to read the Bhagavatam. We may say practical. That means some padasevanam, like maintaining the temple, book distribution. That is padasevanam. So, everything is practical ultimately. But the most practical thing is Shravanam Kirtanam, particularly. And out of those, Shravanam, Prabhupada explains, it's the most important from our point of view, to hear. And Prabhupada says, as many times quoted, that ultimately the path of bhakti is the path of hearing. We want to realize the Supreme Lord, that means we hear of the Supreme Lord from Shastra, Sadhu, from Guru. So the Supreme Lord is realized through hearing. When we chant, we discuss Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, we are also hearing. All right? We chant, like you say, so that we attentively hear. So if we understand this simple point, then we know how to realize the Supreme Lord. We should always be hearing and chanting. That is done, we see, in Golok Leela, Gokul Leela, automatically by the devotees. This is actually the natural state for a devotee, just like that verse I quoted. Just like a bee, once it finds the Parijata flower, it remains there and takes the nectar. So, in the period of sadhana, we have to awaken that attraction. That is the austerity of regulated daily chanting, following principles, daily studying, coming to class. And this is essential. This is more important than just digging a hole in the road and thinking, we discussed last time, you have to sharpen the sword. Do you remember? You want to. So if you understand Siddhanta, Siddhanta means the perfect conclusion. So the Bhagavatam is the Siddhanta of the Veda. It is the highest shastra because it elucidates the transcendental mellows between the Supreme Lord and the devotee. And that interaction between Krishna and his devotees, that is the highest aspect of the creation. That is the whole purpose of creation. That Krishna Rasavaya Saha, he wants to distribute the mellows, the nectar, and enjoy with his devotees. So, what is the reason for creation? It is for, that is given in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that to enjoy the bliss, Radha and Krishna are one. But to enjoy the bliss of pastimes, they have separated themselves eternally. So, to enjoy the nectar of their pastimes. So that is the purpose of creation. Janmadi Ashyata. Yes, the creation has emanated from the Supreme Lord. But what is the motivation? What is the reason? To enjoy. To enjoy rasa. Not in this selfish material consciousness where we're always based on how to enjoy, but the enjoyment of the transcendental world is to give to the beloved. So Krishna is the beloved of his devotees, and they give him pleasure, and the beloved of Krishna are his devotees, and he attempts to give them pleasure. And this is the reason for the eternal creation. So, who can think of a better reason? Right now, sometimes you've got to suffer, you've got to push on forward, you've got to climb mountains, you've got... This is all material. Actually, the whole reason is simply to expand the enjoyment that is creation. And what better reason could we have? Can anyone improve that as a motivation? And isn't that actually what we are all motivated by? Right? Even in the material world, people are building skyscrapers and buying Lamborghinis and going to the restaurant and eating pizza, even though it's maybe overpriced or whatever. Why? To enjoy. Right? So later on in the Vedanta Sutra, Anandamoy Bhyasat, the living entity and the Supreme Lord, the Anandamoy Bhyasat. So when Ananda is achieved by the awakened soul, by sadhana, by tapasya, by chanting, then he lives eternally in Anand. And here, from Nectar of Devotion, are the nine characteristics of somebody who has attained bhava, Anand. One. And this is his natural condition, it's not assumed. One, he's always anxious to use time in devotional service. He wants service all the time. Always reserved and perseverant. He's detached from material attraction. Has no longing for material respect. Always certain that Krishna will bestow mercy. So he feels confident. Somebody in bhava bhakti knows that Krishna will bestow mercy because he's experiencing that. Six, always eager to serve Krishna faithfully, favorably. He always wants to perform some activity for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. Nama Sada Ruchi, always attached to chanting. He always has taste. So this is the problem at the beginning. We think, oh, 16 rounds finished. Actually, when you want to chant, when you taste a little taste of the name, you always chant non-stop. You feel anxious if you're not chanting. It's like the switch has gone off. Eight, always eager to describe the transcendental quality of Krishna. So he's realized in the quality of Krishna, you see. So he wants to present this. And number nine, very pleased to live in a place of Krishna's pastimes. Vrindavan Mathura Dwarka. So this is Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, giving the qualities of bhava bhakti. And these are natural. These are the state of the soul. But unfortunately, the soul is sleeping. Jeev jago, gora chandra, bole, kota nitra, jayo maya, pisa chira kole. So, I'll just finish with that story. In Godrumadweep, Bhaktivinod Thakur used to get up very early and he would walk in his garden. And at the top of his voice, he would chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So all the neighbors could hear him. Of course, they were sleeping. So his inspiration for that famous song, Gudilo Aruna Jeev Jago, was attained in the garden. That he felt, yes, everybody, I'm up early now, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, chanting in the garden, feeling the nectar. But all my neighbors, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. So we should chant with faith. This is explained. First stage of chanting, if we want to become attentive, we should chant with ulasa. That means we should chant joyfully. And then we should add vishramba, means intimate faith. And this chanting in this mood, not in an impersonal way, thinking that the Hare Krishna mantra is some kind of device, some impersonal sound, but understanding this is personal association with the Supreme Lord. And so we should chant for the pleasure of the Lord in a joyful mood. Devotee should always be positive, should see the good in others, then you'll always be happy. If you see the bad in others, then don't, like Nilkant, don't let it come below the throat. Like you may say, this guy's an idiot. But don't be envious, right? Just like a doctor, he may say, you're sick, but he's trying to help you, right? So a devotee, he maintains positive dealings. Everyone is Krishna's devotee. Now if he has to discriminate, this is not good behavior, then he doesn't become envious. He doesn't let it go below the throat. You didn't let it come into the heart. You understand? So if you keep your consciousness pure, positive, then you can chant positively. But if you're maintaining, not you personally, but if one maintains a kind of angry mood, kind of pride within the consciousness, then you'll find it hard to chant purely with attraction. So that's the meaning of Trinadapi Saniche Nataro. You have to give respect to others, not want it in return. And you have to be tolerant of what goes on. Oh, never mind. Koi bad nahi. Bhagwan theek karenge. Like that. Okay, we'll finish on this point. Sadhu Sangha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hari Hari Bol.